wife, but she had never been married. She had family members throughout her life who had, even from a young age, had taught her about Jesus and how Jesus would change her life. And throughout her entire life, she chose to not accept him. For 85 years, she had chosen to not accept their invitation to follow Jesus, who could have ruled her life. What Irma Dean didn't know was that she was 2 days away from having a massive heart attack. She had no idea. You see, Irma Dean, I just did some quick math and said that if she had rejected God for 85 years, that was 31,000 days that she had chosen to not accept him into her life. But what she didn't know is she was about to die. In 2 short days, Irma was going to have a massive heart attack and meet her maker. Irma had woke up one morning early after having a talk with her great niece, Pam. Pam had talked to her the week before and reminded her about Jesus and how important that decision was. Irma had woke up that morning and decided, you know, I think I should be baptized. So she made a phone call to the Dexter Church of Christ, got a hold of one of the preachers, and he came that morning to baptize her. Some of you may know Irma Dean was Jan's aunt. And what you now know is she made the best decision of her life 2 days before she passed away. Even though she had missed out on 85 years worth of God's benefits, she made a great decision that morning. She made a decision to solidify her eternal life with Jesus. 2 short days later, Irma passed away in her home from a heart attack and narrowly escaped eternal death. She made the best decision of her life. This morning, I want to take a really, really simple concept. So if your kid's out in the audience, I promise you, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So pay attention. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about making wise decisions. All of us this morning woke up and we made tons of decisions, countless decisions to get here. Am I going to get out of bed this morning or am I going to hang out at the house? What am I going to wear? Will I brush my teeth today or will I not? What am I going to eat? Which car should I bring to church? What are we going to bring for basket dinner? Am I going to leave in time to be at church on time or am I going to leave late? Tons of decisions that really, in the grand scheme of things, aren't that important. But one decision that's really important is, were you going to come to church today and are you going to follow him? This morning we're going to talk about making wise decisions. The New Testament references some Old Testament examples which provide valuable lessons for us as Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Well, what's this, "now all these things happened to them as examples"? Well, if we read earlier in that chapter 10, it was talking about people who had lusted after evil things, who had become idolaters, who had committed sexual immorality, who had made all kinds of poor decisions, who had tempted Christ. You can read about it. That's who the them is. So we get to read and see these examples of people who had made poor decisions. Well, the Bible is chock full of people that we can read about who made poor decisions. You see, we could read about Lot, who made a really simple decision. Where am I going to live? And as a result, guess what he got to experience? Sodom in its fullest. He got to see war and kidnapping. He was oppressed and tormented by ungodly citizens. He had the loss of all of his possessions, death of his wife, and incest with his daughters. One decision. One poor, poor choice. David, he chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And his consequences mounted. The death of his infant son. Daughter molested by her half-brother. Son killed, and that son killed by her vengeful brother. We could read about the prodigal son. He chose to take his inheritance. I want my inheritance now, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave the house. He ended up in poverty, and he ended up feeding, eating, sleeping with the hogs. Jeroboam, he chose idolatry. He created golden calves, sacrificed to them. His sin angered the Lord, and he ended up creating an example for future kings who practiced idolatry just like him. Lot, David, Jeroboam, the prodigal son, they illustrate to us how important making good decisions is. This morning, I'd like for us to consider a few things. The choice that will greatly affect our lives. And notice I said, the choice. Suggestions for making wise choices. And what to do if and when we make the wrong choice. Those are some things I want to look at quickly this morning. I want to begin with the end in mind. There is one choice, and I said singular choice, that is, has been, or will be the most important decision of your life. Some of you have already chosen this morning to obey Jesus. That's awesome. Some of you are still contemplating that. And some of you, hopefully, in the future, sooner rather than later, will choose Jesus. This decision will greatly affect your life. Will you follow Jesus or will you not? Will you become His disciple or will you not? Will you accept His gracious gift of salvation or will you not? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." This one decision to follow Him will affect you more than any other decision in your life. It's going to determine where you're going to spend eternity. Will you live eternally or will you die? As a disciple, you'll be concerned with doing His will. As a disciple, you'll be concerned with doing His will and not yours. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of ages.'" Amen. Outside of making the most important decision, let's look at some other decisions that are extremely important. And I just want to talk about these so you can think about them. We have kids in the audience that are before preschool all the way up into high school. Who will be your friends? We're getting ready to end a school year. Did you choose some friends this past year that you look back and you go, "Probably shouldn't have done that"? Who will you choose next year as your friends? Who will you choose to date? Who will you marry? Where will you live? What school are you going to go to? Is there a church nearby? What career will I choose? Will it bring me closer to God or draw me further away? So now let's just take a minute and talk about how do you make good decisions? This seems obvious, but how can we all make better decisions? So here's some suggestions for making wise choices. The very first thing I would say is ask God for wisdom. I had Jacob read from Proverbs, and thank you for doing that. Some great reminders about being prayerful about wisdom. He promises to give us wisdom if we'll just ask in faith. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that you will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in his ways. Asking for wisdom from God. Asking for wisdom from God requires diligence. I'm going to read from, and you can follow along, or you can just listen. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to my understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand the righteousness and Then you will understand the righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Have you filled your prayers with requests for wisdom? I ask for wisdom, but I don't know that I ask enough. I don't know that we can ask enough. This will help us to make good decisions. The path of wisdom will be beneficial according to Proverbs. So what Jacob just read to us this morning, there's a dichotomy there. There's two paths. You can ask for wisdom, and look at the things that it will give you. Listen to what the Bible tells us about making wise choices and asking for His wisdom. It will lead us down the right paths. Have you ever gone down the wrong path? Amy and I went to Busick not too long ago, and I thought, no problem, I know exactly where we're going. We'll just follow this trail. Trail disappeared, and it was kind of getting dark. And I thought, well, it's Busick. I mean, how lost are we? We just live across the road. We went down the wrong path. Next thing you know, it was getting close to dark, and I'm like, hope we can find our way back. Have you ever been down the wrong path and realized real quick you need to get back on the right one? The benefit of choosing this path is the years of your life will be many. Anyone here want to live many years? That's a benefit of being wise and choosing Him. Another benefit, your days will be filled with peace. See, we may take that for granted, because I would venture to say most of you feel like you live a fairly peaceful life. Have you ever turned on the news and watched the drama unfolding in others' lives? Do you show up to work and maybe as their leader, their manager, a coworker, you end up dealing with the drama that's in their life? Because it's not peaceful. It's painful. And you think, what is the problem? What's going on here? Oh, they didn't choose the right path. They don't have Christ in their life. Wisdom leads one down the path more likely to bless the body with good health. That's what Proverbs tells you. That by choosing this path, you are more likely to choose things that will bless you and your body and your health. He will guide your steps, and they won't be hindered when we run, we won't stumble. Proverbs 4 and 13 tells us to take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Are you taking firm hold of instruction? Are you holding on tightly to His wisdom in this book? The path of wisdom is what God wants us to take. Versus what Jacob read about in the second part of that, verse 14, tells us that not to enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Don't even enter that path. Don't peek in. Don't look. Don't be tempted. Don't even put your big toe in. Why? Because verse 15 tells us, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Don't travel it. Turn away and pass on. Turn away from it and pass on. Why? Why should we avoid this path? Well, it's pretty obvious. One easily becomes obsessed with what's wrong. Do you work with anybody that's obsessed with doing what's wrong? Have you watched the show Cops? Have you watched the live show Cops? It seems in Springfield, Missouri all the time. They're showing people that are obsessed with doing what's wrong or being evil. Proverbs 4 and 16 says, Tell us the evil, don't sleep until they have done evil. They don't even sleep comfortably until they've done something evil. Isn't that a sad thing? Sin is addictive and it enslaves you. John 8:34 tells us, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Who wants to be a slave to that? It becomes a life of wickedness and violence, is what verse 17 tells us. Sin and violence in every form. It damages our relationship with others. It damages our relationship with ourselves, and more importantly, with God. That's the two paths. Look at the total difference of what that path of wisdom provides versus that path that I just read about. The path of the wicked is what God would have you to avoid. Another way to make good decisions, so I'm going to go back to what we were talking about. How can we make good decisions? Well, ask other God-fearing brothers and sisters for advice. Kids, talk to your parents. Don't talk to your friends maybe at school who don't know God. They're not going to give you good advice. Talk to your parents. Talk to your friends here at church. Let them help give you advice. There's safety in good counselors. Notice I said good counselors. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Look around. You have a multitude of counselors here. You don't even have to pay them. They're free. And chances are they're going to be good counselors. There is wisdom heeding the counselor of others. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in who? In their own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. You heard somebody say, oh, I've got this. Do you? Do you really? You probably don't. Heed the counsel of those who are wise. We have elders. We have deacons. You have brothers. You have sisters. You have friends that would love to counsel you. These are two great sources for counsel. The Bible is the best. Turn to it. Turn to its wisdom and God first. The book of Proverbs is chock full of great things. And we have older, mature Christians in not only this local congregation, but congregations across the country that we can go to. Don't hesitate to ask other faithful Christians. Commit your choices to the Lord, trusting that you have made choices that will be pleasing to Him. Put those in His hands. If you've made a decision that you know is pleasing to God, then put your trust in that. Put your trust in Him. Psalms chapter 37, verses 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Consult with Him. Read about it. Consult with the Bible. Talk to your brothers and sisters. And then commit to giving it to God. Make your decisions with the understanding, if the Lord wills. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 15. Come now, who say, today or tomorrow we'll go and do such and such in a city. We'll spend a year there. We'll buy and sell. Make profit. Where you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Commit to something that you've decided once you've consulted with Him, but it's the Lord's will. And know that and understand that. There are times in our life where it's going to be apparent that we made a poor decision, a wrong choice. What can you do to avoid making it worse? Well, we need to respond to those wrong decisions. Learn from the mistakes of others. We can look around and see mistakes being made all the time. We don't need to make them ourselves. Some of you kids right now have kids in your grade that you have watched that you thought were good kids. And they chose to be friends with the wrong person. And what do you see happen? Maybe their grades go down. Maybe they are making poor decisions and getting in trouble. Learn from the mistakes of others. Do what Lot did. Heed and flee. Heed the word of God. Do what you know to be right without reservation. Don't be like Lot's wife, who should have responded, but she didn't. Do what Peter did. Repent and serve. Repent if sin is involved, as did Peter when he was sinning and denied Christ. Serve the Lord with all the time you have left in life. Do what Paul did. Accept and live. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus gave him and provided. I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy, where he talks about this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into this ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And if the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Paul is a perfect example of someone who accepted and moved on and lived for Him. He accepted the forgiveness. He knew what he did was terrible. He knew that he called himself an insolent man. But he accepted that grace and he moved forward. He was determined to live for Christ and give the best of his ability. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us have made a poor decision. All of us. We could go right down the row and start up front with Matt and end back with Jacob, and we could all give one of our poor choices in life. We've all made them. But we need to learn from those. We need to teach our kids about those. We need to figure out what caused that, what was the trigger, and move past it and not do it again. And not peek in and peer down that path that Jacob read about. Don't even give it a second thought. I said I wanted to start this lesson with how I wanted to end it. And that was telling you that the best decision we can make is to choose Christ. This morning, if you have chosen Christ, my question for you would be, are you still choosing Jesus? See, we made a really, really, really good decision for some of you many years ago. I don't know how many years ago. It may have been 70 years ago. It may have been 60, 50. For some of you, it was just last year. But you made a really good decision. But are you today still making that good decision? Luke chapter 9, verse 23 tells us to daily deny ourselves. And do what? Take up our cross and follow Him. I'm assuming you're doing that because you're here. But don't just follow Him on Sunday or maybe when Wednesday. But daily we deny ourselves and we follow Him. The example of Lot should serve to teach us that making a proper decision is extremely important. And you may think, live in Ozark, live in Nixa, live in St. Louis. What's the difference? It's what Lot thought. It's not a big deal. I don't have to worry about those things. It became a big deal. Watching his life and thinking about all those others who had made poor decisions should warn us to not take our choices that we make lightly. Sure, you may decide that you don't want to brush your teeth today or tonight. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a big deal. I'm just too tired to brush my teeth. And in 15, 20 years, when you have no teeth, you'll go, man, that was a bad decision. It may not have anything to do with your eternal salvation, but it's going to cause you some grief. Choosing a friend in second grade, preschool, you think, I mean, come on, we're just little kids. It's not a big deal. And then next thing you know, in seventh or eighth grade, they're still your friends, but they're doing some things that aren't good. Those decisions may haunt you. Because next thing you know, you should be in college, and if you decided to not go to college and hang out with your buddies, and it's your buddies who you were buddies with in high school, and you're still making poor decisions like they are. Every choice we make can have a lasting impact on our life. Remember Lot the next time you're faced with an important decision. Make the decision based upon what the Lord would do. Your eternal destiny might rest on that decision. I hope this lesson has been encouraging to you. I hope that it was a good reminder. I think we all know that making good decisions is important. But for those who are kids, I'm telling you, making good, sound decisions is important. For those of us who are not kids, every day making a good, sound decision is important. If you've chosen Jesus, you've made the best decision of your life. If you haven't, you can and should today. Don't be like Irma and wait 85 years to rob yourself of all the nice things that you could have maybe enjoyed for 85 years. Yes, be like Irma in the fact that you do answer the gospel invitation. Thank goodness she did. But make sure you do it. If you're contemplating it, there's not much more to contemplate. There's no reason to put it off. Do it today. We invite you to do that as we stand and sing.